Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an APP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a familiar voice returns just in time to warn a family of a would-be intruder. And that voice, Casey Kasem.
No.
He just starts coming through the walls.
Nope.
Attention, family, look out. There's a ghost in your house. Just like that. That's what happens.
Okay.
Also, a love triangle is a bit more complicated when one of the members is a ghost. A quick run-in to the grocery store turns into a memorable encounter. And could a listener have seen the ghost of her grandfather as a warning that he was about to pass away? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. Fluffball's right down there.
Okay, I see him now.
Sometimes you can smell him, too.
I just like to know where he's at so I don't put my foot on him back.
That's a good idea. Every once in a while when he hangs out with me here in the day, I'll just be at my computer and he'll usually be sitting down by my feet. And then all of a sudden I'll be like, bear.
You blame it on the dog?
Well, it wasn't me over in the corner leaving piles.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure I'd be cognizant of that.
I thought you just meant like fart? You farted.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, yeah, he hasn't done that lately. He's not a real flatulent dog.
Okay.
We have had dogs that were.
Yes.
But this one's not. He's and he usually says, excuse me, if he does.
Mm-hmm.
In his own little way. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get those stories to us. And hey, if you have any ghost photos, anything paranormal, anything freaky, anything that you've captured on any medium, whether it be a video or a photo on your phone, whatever, be sure to send those into us as well. And we may use it on a future episode of Seeing Ghosts. That's our little video program that we put together here once a month. So if you have something you wanted to get into the January episode, email it, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Our first letter to us, Ashley writes in, hello, I've recently been listening to your stories via podcast during my work days. Being behind a desk doing paperwork and punching numbers, it can help pass the time along. Not sure what this occurrence was, but I've been afraid to pass it along because it makes me sound a tad crazy. Background, my older brother David had married in 2005 to a woman who most of our family knows to be a not very nice woman. But of course, loving our brother and respecting him, we welcomed his new bride to the family. There have been some upsets with infidelity and secrets my brother had found out through his new marriage. In 2008, my brother had passed away in a horrible car wreck. Tore our family apart and broke my heart in the process. Fast forward, it was my sophomore year at college and it had only been 2 years since my brother's death. I'd moved back in with my parents for the remainder of the year. One night, I'd come home late from work, took a shower, and laid in bed with my headphones on. I noticed a car light outside my window, automatically thinking it was our officer neighbor coming home late from a shift. At first, I was thinking my headphones were broken, but I heard my brother call my name. "Ashley, get up." I automatically thought I was being crazy and tired since it had been a long day. I heard it again. "Ashley, get up." This time my brother's voice sounded angry at me. So I get out of bed, laid my headphones on the sheets, and walked through our house in the dark. I come to the back door, and for some reason, I lay the door curtains against the side door panel, and I flip the light switch on. My heart froze as I heard, on the other side of the glass door and curtain between me, "Shit." I stood still listening to whoever was on the other side run through our backyard. The landscaper hadn't been in town for a couple of weeks, so the grass was embarrassingly long, which made the sound of running easy to hear. I dialed 911 while still holding the curtains. The police came, looked over the yard, and while my parents were still fast asleep, while the officers were done looking, they came to my front door and told me whoever was here is gone, but there was someone on your back porch. They had me follow them to our wooden, light-stained porch. There were wet shoe prints on the steps leading to the back door. After this drama, I woke my parents and told them about the incident. My parents, horrified, had added an alarm system. I never told them about the voice, and I never told them who I thought was on our porch. Deep in my heart, I believe it was my brother's wife. I knew her voice, and the footprints on the porch were a lot smaller than mine, and she wore around size 5s. Not sure what she was doing there, but I know what I heard. And thankful I had heard it. Thank you for reading my story. Like I said, no idea how or why it happened. Still confused about it till this day. I've had weird luck when it comes to people passing and knowing when someone will pass away, but never had an experience like this before.
I think that's interesting that she woke up just in time, but I'm kind of, throughout the whole story, the reason I'm perplexed is I wonder why, if it's the ex-wife or the widowed wife, why would she be coming there?
Well, why is it a bad thing that she's coming there?
Because they said she's not a nice person. Okay. That they didn't get along with her.
Okay. But would she be showing up to try and do harm, or would she be showing up for some other reason?
Well, I don't know. Showing up in the middle of the night, freaking out and leaving.
It was the middle of the night, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Freaking out and leaving when she hears somebody moving in the house. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, the freaking out leaving part's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there was some message she had and she got cold feet on it and just ran away, freaked. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of all possibilities there.
I don't know. It makes you wonder if the ghost of the brother knew that something bad was going to happen, you know, beyond just, hey, wake up, somebody's here.
Yeah.
Just something bad's about to happen. Because we kind of hear a lot of stories about ghosts giving warnings that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It was a warning of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll never know exactly what the reason was for it.
See, I'm just ornery and ballsy enough, I would have called her up and said, so what are you doing on my porch?
Yeah, I mean, if you think you know who it is, that would be the reason I would call. Like, why would you, I'd want to know what was up. Like, was there a reason? Is there something you wanted or needed? And you could do that very nonchalantly, too. It's like, something you needed? I mean, because it's not like just a complete stranger you're calling up. And then see what the response is. Although the response is probably no answer.
That or denial.
Denial, yeah. Thank you for the story. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. We're available, of course, on many, many podcast applications these days on the internets and the computers. I like getting S to the end of words.
I see that.
So whatever one you choose to listen to us on, please press subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, and 5,000 other ones. But press subscribe helps us grow in those rankings, and you get all the stories delivered directly to you. Wayne writes in, my story begins way back in 1985. It was the height of the boom in the United Kingdom. Myself and my partner decided to buy a property to let out for extra income and a decent top-up for our retirement. We purchased the house at auction, and me and my partner stayed in the house for some months and renovated it. The house felt warm, friendly, and secure to us. A few months later, the agent finally managed to get us a tenant. Within weeks, they moved out. They did not say why. This happened with the next four tenants. They wouldn't stay in the house. We had a big argument with the letting agent as we thought he was just running us up with bills. However, I remember it really well. I want to stop for 1 second here and say, I wonder if we ever have stories of like this, because we have so many stories of like, oh, we stayed in this house for like 3 months and got out of there. If we ever have intersecting stories where here's the landlord telling their story and we've already had like the tenants telling it, but they never really know that they're intersecting with their occurrences. You know what I mean?
I know. I could see it happening sometime in the future as the show grows.
Sure. I just wonder if that ever has happened. And we'll never really know. Anyway, by 10 p.m., my phone rang, so I had to get out of bed and answer it. It was the tenant, and they were calling me from the neighbor's home. They claimed they had been indoors when suddenly a chair moved right next to them. We lost another tenant. That was the next day. I changed agents, but the same thing happened. A few weeks after moving in, another person from another city claimed exactly the same thing and again wanted to leave. My partner was demanding we sell the house and cut our losses. Someone was telling these people nonsense. Determined to find out, I went up and stayed there myself, and nothing happened. The house was exactly as it was the time we renovated it, quiet and peaceful. Spoke to the neighbors, who were polite, then went to the local pub and asked about the house. All they could say was they think it's a rental, which I knew it was as I owned it, but no stories of moving chairs, etc. We finally found one tenant who stayed for 4 years. On his last day, I went to get the keys, and he said to me, I really liked it here, but it was a tough battle to explain to your ghost to leave the damn chairs alone. This activity continues to this day. It's now a seaside holiday let, and we still get reports of chairs moving. I've installed 24/7 recording CCTV last year and caught nothing on camera. My partner stayed in the house on her own for a few months. Again, she experienced nothing. We had then two students from Sweden stay in 2006, and they showed us a video they had taken. You can clearly see the chair lifting completely off the ground about an inch, moving to the side of the table. I checked local records. No one died in the property. The land it's built on never had any written history either. I know it's not the most interesting story. I can only tell you what happened. Chair was in the kitchen. There were four in total, but one, only one would ever move. If it was left out, it would be pushed back in. Lots of people would stay in the house, claim they saw it being lifted and pushed back in. None saw any ghost or anything else. However, we did try EVP, but either we did it wrong or there was simply no reply, as hours of recording produced nothing.
Okay. So, to me, it doesn't sound particularly bothersome other than the fact that it freaked out the renters. I get that. But just leave the chair pushed in. Don't leave it out for the ghost to push in.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave it pushed in. Ask him to leave it alone. It worked for 4 years for that one guy.
It's going to be really shitty when you're in a house haunting it and the people don't do things a certain way, isn't it?
No, I'm just saying the problem was the ghost pushing the chair in.
Sure.
And it freaking people out.
Sure.
Don't leave the chair out. It won't get pushed in.
That would be helpful.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying my OCD is going to take over when I'm a ghost.
Oh, I think. Do you think it will? Do you think it will be an issue if you're haunting a house? Let's just say, I mean, because we don't know what the parameters are for haunting.
Okay.
I mean, we have all these different theories on they can move here, they can do. Let's just say you are relegated to being in a house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can't leave the house for whatever reason. That's what you're bound by. How would you handle it if the people are leaving chairs out or doing things, you know, where things are kind of out of order?
Like Olivia's room? Like,
yes.
I'm living in a house. The whole house is like
the
Olivia's
whole house.
Room.
They're grown-ups.
I would then...
Let's just say it's Olivia's house as an adult.
I would try and find a different place to haunt, honestly.
You can't, though.
I don't know. I don't know what I'd do.
Would you try and pick up as a ghost? Would you try and condition them to...
No. That's an endless battle. I'd become a poltergeist real fast. I'd be looking for the light in a hurry.
You know, it sounds silly, but I wonder how many ghosts are like that, where you have things like that, just like this, where mm-hmm. the chair gets pushed back in, where it is something simple. I mean, you have a lot of stories of, well, we believe it's the old lady who lived here her entire life, and we see her, but she seems to be like motherly and kind of helpful. Like, mm-hmm. I wonder how many ghosts there are that are in one location and can't leave, that half of the activity is simply because they're trying to put things, you know, quote unquote, where they belong or where that ghost believes they belong.
I bet a lot of them are. I can see that being a problem for me.
Because it's how they were in life. Mm-hmm. So very likely their personality will stay the same there. I wonder if that's a common occurrence.
I don't know. It's a problem in life. I don't see it being a problem that goes away when I die. So
sure.
I don't know. The tidiest ghost.
You'd really need, you'd like to have to like be haunting like an IKEA or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Where they always have it picked up. Tracy writes, and my story begins when I was at the age of around 12 to 13, and I was looking at the mirror in my bedroom, getting ready for church. Now, to get the visual of my surroundings for you guys, my bedroom floor was wooden, and to get out of my room, you had to go left, and if you continue to go straight, that was my parents' bedroom. Back to me looking into the mirror. I got done what I wanted to do, and when I turned to leave my room, I looked down at the floor, and to my surprise and bewilderment, there was a ghostly foot apparition. It wasn't pointed towards me. It looked like if I were a real person, the person would be standing to the side, so I could see the entire foot, but the apparition stopped by the ankle. I couldn't stop looking at it, and to my surprise, I felt calm and collected, almost like someone that I know was there to visit. I just knew if I blinked my eyes, the apparition would disappear, and along with that, I wanted to see if my hand would go through it, like in the movies. So I slowly bent down closer to touch it, but just when I was about to touch it, I couldn't keep my eyes open any longer, and so I blinked. And yes, the apparition was gone. But I touched the floor to see if it was cold. Yes, it was. However, I knew that wooden floors are usually cold anyway, so I also touched the surrounding area, and to me, it felt like the area where the ghost was colder than the area around it. I looked around my room and didn't see anything else. Went to my dad and I told him what just happened, and he told me that my great-grandfather built this house and my room was actually my great-grandparents' bedroom. So we both came to the conclusion that one of them came to visit me, since I didn't feel any threat. What do you think? It's another story that happens a few days after that, which I'll leave you guys in suspense with. Thank you for this podcast. It's really cool to listen to at work. Keep up the great work, you two. Tracy.
I don't understand the partial apparition ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember the swimsuit and legs and that's it?
Yeah, I remember like a long time ago when it was just a hand. It was like thing.
It was crawling out of the closet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why there would just be ghosts of just certain parts.
The hand that haunts the cradle.
I don't know. But a foot? Just a random foot?
You know, I wonder if it really is just an app, if it is just a foot, or if it is, that's all that's being generated. You know, like, it's trying to be seen in its whole entirety, but only that's what's coming through to the person. Or that's just what the person happens to be picking up on whatever frequency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just a very, you know, it's like listening to a radio with the old tuner where you had to have the dial. And you get like a little bit of a song, but not the whole song.
Mm-hmm.
The whole song's there, but you're only able to pick up part of it.
Okay.
If that's kind of what it is.
I don't know. Maybe.
Odd thing to think about. It would be very strange to see just a limb.
Yeah, or just half of a ghost.
Sure. The toe. You just see a toe. Why is there just a pinky toe down there? That's odd.
Mm-hmm.
Be very creepy. Alexandria writes in, throughout my life, I have had many odd experiences. The one I plan on writing about dates back to when I was roughly 10 years old. This house didn't seem old, however. It was very small and cramped. Remember, I was feeling watched in the house. Here's where my story begins. My dad was hired by my grandmother to work on a house. Since my parents are divorced on the weekends, I would go over there and assist him in working on the house. My dad is a believer, and whenever something would happen to him, I would be the first to know. He told me about some pictures he took that looked to have a face in the background, but always seemed to delete them. Later that day, he showed me how to pull up carpet and take off the baseboards. He then was taking pictures of the room and saw a head in the small window above where he was working. He quickly showed me the picture, then he had to delete it or else the man would get angry. After my dad took the picture, he walked off to the other room to talk to a worker. So he left me to the work. Now in front of the door where there were some big black bags where we were throwing the excess wooden carpet, I remember getting really nervous as if I was being watched. I then heard what sounded like someone walking over sandbags. I turned around and of course no one was there. Being the scared 10-year-old I was, I ran out to tell my dad and he laughed and said, "You heard him, didn't you?" Let's just say after that I didn't work alone. The next weekend I stayed the night there and I remember getting a spare bed moved into that room and I refused to sleep without my cat, Haley Jane. I was already having a hard time falling asleep just because the atmosphere in that house just seemed to always make me anxious and nervous. Since it was only my dad and I living there, you tend to learn the sounds of each other's footsteps. I remember hearing what sounded like my dad get up in the middle of the night, so I was going to go out there and tell him I couldn't sleep. I turned to the kitchen, no one was there. I was so confused because I could have sworn it was my dad. I slowly crept back to my bedroom and fell asleep. The next morning, he asked why I was running up and down the hallway at 3 a.m., which I wasn't. The only time I got up to see why he was in the kitchen. So I explained to him what happened, and he said, "Oh yeah, that happens a lot. Don't let it scare you. Everyone's harmless." And we're always being nervous about the paranormal, just because no matter where I live, it always seems to follow. I have many other accounts of things happening to me, but we'll leave it at that. Big fan, Alexandria.
Oh, yeah, everyone's harmless.
Everyone's harmless.
How many spirits we got going on? That's funny.
It's easier to believe that than it is to go, "Well, we don't really know what the hell's going on here." Some are harmless. Some, they might possess you a little bit.
I would just feel better if it were like he's harmless or she's harmless. Not everyone's harmless. Like there's a whole family there.
That's true. It does kind of open it up to there's many more than one.
Yeah.
And you're just the 10-year-old kid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Thank you for the story. 855-853-4802, our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Our next story, hey, Tony and Jenny. Today, I just want to tell you guys a strange event that happened to my dad back when he was young and going to visit his ex-girlfriend. Before I start, I wanted to give a little background info so as to not confuse you and others on the story. I'm Hmong, and back then in the 1970s in Laos, the Hmong lived only in hilltops and mountaintops away from civilization. Courting girls and dating girls was looked on as a shameful act during those times by the Hmong community. So if you wanted to court girls or date them, it would only be at night when her folks were asleep. Now on with the story. It was around the late 1970s, and after finishing a whole day of farming and wood gathering, my dad decided he wanted to visit his girlfriend because he has been busy and hadn't visited her in a while. As night fell, he gathered two of his friends and set off to her village, which was a couple of hills away from his village. After traversing through the jungles and hills, they arrive at her village. Her two friends went off to go court the other village girls, while my dad headed straight off to his girlfriend's house. As he drew near her house, he saw a dark shadow leaning against the wall where his girlfriend's sister slept. He thought it must be some other guy from a different village coming to talk to her, as she was of that age and didn't want to shine his flashlight on the shadows so as to disturb him. He reached the wall where his girlfriend was sleeping, and for her. She woke up, and they began to converse. He asked about her sister and the guy talking to her, and she told him that the guy just recently has come to talk to her sister. It was getting really late, around 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., and my dad, ending his conversation, was going to head back to meet with his friends and make their way back home. As he set out, he could see that the shadowy figure was still there talking to his sister, or to the sister. He felt curious and wanted to know who the shadow figure was, so he shined his flashlight on it. The beam of flashlight pierced through, and he was terrified. He ran away from the house and was met by his friends by the village entrance. He didn't tell them what he saw because he didn't want to alarm them. So instead, he told them to hurry home before morning. The next day, he relayed what he encountered to his friends, and they were horrified. Since that encounter, he cut ties with that girl and hasn't visited her. A few weeks passed. His girlfriend's dad came to the village to ask for help. My dad went to ask him what had happened, and he told my dad that what had transpired after that encounter my dad had. My dad's girlfriend's sister became suddenly ill and estranged. She would hunger for raw meat and spout out nonsense. Late at night, she'd get up and try to run away, and it usually takes 2 to 3 men to try to wrestle her down. Before they could do an animistic ritual to ask the spirits and ancestors what was wrong with her, she succumbed to her illness and died. This spooked my dad, even to this day, as none saw what he saw that night. And he still believes that it was a dark, shadowy figure that caused this and took her life. Thank you for reading my story. I love your podcast, and I think it's a great way of connecting everyone that even in different cultures do experience similar paranormal phenomena. And sorry for having it so long. I do have more stories of the paranormal, and we'll share it with you another time.
So I'm pretty sure she was possessed.
Is that what you're going with?
I think so.
I'm going to go with that too.
I mean, the whole taking 2 or 3 grown men to wrestle her down kind of thing and wanting raw meat.
And there wasn't even a bunk bed involved.
Nope, no bunk bed.
I was waiting to ding my bell that I don't have.
Yeah.
Or the bunk bed. And then he saw the bunk bed and she was possessed. No, I think there was certainly something like that there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something was taking her over. That's what happened. It's fun with ghost stories because they were exactly right. Ghost stories, they seem to transcend pretty much everything. It doesn't matter what culture you're from, what country you're from, what your belief system is. There's ghosts and everybody has them.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like a children's song. Like everybody has like feet or like
everybody poops.
Everybody poops. Yes. Everybody poops. This is everyone poops. Everyone has ghosts.
Okay.
That should be our slogan.
Just like poop, everybody has it.
Just as everyone poops, everyone has ghosts.
Okay.
Anonymous writes in. I recently just, and this is not Anonymous, the hacking group. I should make that clear when I say that now.
Okay.
This is just an anonymous writer.
A listener.
A listener, yes. Okay. I recently subscribed to your YouTube channel, and I absolutely love what you do. Keep up the stellar work. Let me start by saying that this story is more paranormal than it is creepy. I've always believed in the paranormal. Evidence abounds across television and the internet that supports the existence of ghosts, but the story I'm about to relay to you only solidifies my personal belief. This happened in the spring of 2008. It was a typical Tuesday night. My girlfriend was working in the kitchen of a small house that we rented at the time. I was sitting in the living room in my recliner watching TV. Our two daughters had just been put to bed. My girlfriend spoke up from the kitchen. "We're out of juice. I have nothing to give the girls in the morning. Can you run to the grocery store and grab some?" I glanced at my watch. It was 8:45 p.m. Our local grocery store closed at 9 p.m. And I said, "Yes, if I really hurry." I grabbed the keys to our minivan and headed out the door. Our local grocery store was roughly 7 miles away. I sped down the main drag of our town, doing about 60 miles an hour until I arrived at the store at 8:57 p.m. Ran inside, told the girl behind the checkout counter I knew exactly what I needed, ran down the aisle, grabbed 2 jugs of fruit juice off the shelf, paid for the juice, and strolled out the door. Got back in our minivan and began the drive home. There's a shortcut off the main drag that goes the back way home, which I decided to take. I put my left blinker on, There's no traffic on the oncoming lane, so I made my turn. I knew at this point that I should have slowed down because I was going way too fast to safely negotiate the turn. The two jugs of juice in the front seat behind me began to slide forward towards the floor. To keep them from crashing, I shot my right arm off to hold the jugs back. I took my eyes off the road for maybe 1 second. When I looked back up at the road, I saw it. There was what I assumed to be a person in the middle of the road. My first thought was, oh shit, I'm about to run somebody over. It took me half a second to realize, however, that my headlights were shining through the person. It was crossing the road, swinging its arms in the motion of a normal person walking. The torso hovered above the pavement. It was missing all of the lower body. Its skin was snow white. The scariest thing was its face. No eyes, just empty sockets. With that snow-white skin covering the holes, there was a faint outline of a nose, but no mouth or lips. I could make out a chin, and I could see jaw bones on either side of the head. It had shoulder-length black hair and looked greasy. When it reached the dirt shoulder of the road, it disappeared into thin air. This all happened within the span of 2 to 3 seconds. Fear caused the blood to rush out of my head, and I could feel my face changing color, and my body was covered in goosebumps. My hand shook as I continued to drive home. My girlfriend didn't believe me when I told her what happened. To this day, whatever I saw remains the one and only ghost I have seen in my life. I moved away from the area during the early spring of 2013, but my parents still live near it. I drive by that road at least once, sometimes twice per week. Still get chills to this day whenever I drive past that road.
Okay, for starting out saying it's not so much creepy as it is paranormal, I think it's pretty damn creepy.
I think there was some pretty creepy imagery there.
Yes, yes. Again, partial apparition.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of that when something like that happens? And not so much the partial apparition. I think I get that kind of based on the explanation I had before. At least that's what I kind of believe.
You figured it out.
I figured it out.
Okay.
But what I don't get about that story or about things like that is when you have, they seem fairly harmless. They're just kind of crossing the road. Didn't really do a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the no eyes, the very, you know, creepy look to them. Mm-hmm. Is it because it's an apparition that, you know, it's looking like that? Or is that how it's projecting, like a zombie-esque type figure?
I don't know.
And why?
I don't know, because, you know, you have perfectly normal-looking ghosts, and then you have the ones that project creepily like this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's their doing or if it has something to do with how they were found when they were,
yeah,
you know, if they only found half of the person and they were very much decayed.
And the creepy-ass ones, I mean, sometimes you can put a pinpoint on it as going, oh, this is trying to scare someone. It's not human. It's something dark.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you have this where it's like, that's it.
I don't know.
Was he just passing a dark spirit? Or was it, you know, a somewhat human at one time ghost? And for whatever reason, that's the lot they got for how they look. I don't know.
That would suck.
Very bizarre, especially if you're a really nice ghost and you just want to be friendly and you look like some sort of creature out of Thriller.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no, I just want to help. But unfortunately, you look like Michael Jackson dead. I don't know. It's creepy. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lindsay writes in, when we were 16, my best friend was having her family home renovated. There's a lot of work being done, so to make things easier, their family rented another house for a few months so that they could be out of the way of the renovations. The house they rented was fairly large, 3 stories, and it seemed to impart that unsettling feeling that only certain houses can. There was nothing visually scary about the house. It was modern, updated, and well taken care of, except for the basement, that is, which was painted a dark red. With weird red carpet. This is not important to the story, but it was creepy. Right away, my friends and I started to have strange experiences. Very shortly after my friend had moved in, we were sleeping in her room, which was a large room. I was sleeping on the floor and she on her bed. I was having a nightmare that we were in a weird building and someone had taken my friend to another room and was going to hurt her. I remember feeling scared because I knew I needed to find her as quickly as possible. I went to the only door that led out of the room I was in and I grabbed the handle, but right away I noticed that it felt very strange, like cloth. Suddenly I woke up only to find that I was standing at my friend's bedroom window, holding the curtain aside and staring out the window. What makes this really weird for me is that, as I mentioned, my friend just moved in and there was tons of boxes and debris covering her floor. This means that I had to have gotten up from where I was, laying by the door, navigated my way to the window, clear across the room without running into any of the boxes, as I'm sure I would have stumbled and woken if I had. Also strange is that I had never before sleptwalked in my life. It's been 9 years and I haven't done so since. Later, my friend says that she was sleeping when she woke from the feeling that someone was watching her. She looked above and to her left and says there was someone looking at her from behind her curtain. She also says she woke one night to the sound of her computer chair moving. She thought it was her brother, so she jumped up, turned on her light, and no one was there. But the chair had been moved to the middle of the room. I'll share one more occurrence, though there were quite a few others. My friend had myself and another friend over one night. We all decided to go to sleep, so me and the other girl went to sleep in the next room, in our friend's room. We'd just gotten in bed when we heard heavy, quick footsteps above us, as though someone was running. Immediately, our friend called us and asked, "Did you hear that?" What made it scary was that her brother wasn't home and her parents were asleep in their room. Not to mention, we were all on the third floor and the only thing above us was the attic. Now, my story wasn't too long and I'd love to hear your insights on the experiences. Thanks for the great podcasts.
I'm always suspicious when somebody has different sleep behavior in one location versus another. Like sleepwalking, and that's not something they ever do.
Okay.
I always wonder what is causing that different sleep behavior.
Could it just be the anxiety of sleeping in a different place sometimes? Or I mean, certainly it could be affected by a thermal there, but sometimes could it just simply be the anxiety of it?
I don't know. I would think that that would more so affect the ability to sleep, not sleep to the point where you're sleepwalking.
Not transport, teleport, sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I don't know. It just makes you wonder.
I hated sleepovers when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I enjoyed, like, the fun part of it, like, before the sleeping portion of the evening, but I could never sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I was always awake. I mean, that's why I didn't do that all that often, because it was just not fun.
Yeah.
I was always, I don't know if I was nervous or what, but I could never get comfortable. I think half of the time it was because when you do a sleepover and you're a kid, it's like, you know, oh, everybody's going to sleep on the floor here, whether it be concrete or carpet or what, you know, one couch cushion or whatever, anything but a bed.
Yeah.
Most of the time. And I just can't sleep on things that are not a bed.
I don't know if it was popular where you grew up, but when I was little, one of the things that a lot of kids who didn't like sleepovers would do, they would have like a partial sleepover where you stayed and you hung out, you did all the normal stuff you would do for a sleepover, and then once you started getting drowsy, like 11:30, 12,
yeah,
then it was time to go home.
No, I wish that had existed.
Yeah.
And I think my parents at that time would have been like, well, no, it's late, you're gonna stay.
See, this,
the other kids are staying, you're staying.
But this was like a pre-planned thing.
Sure.
So it was like...
So like everybody went home?
Yeah. Yeah, everybody just went home and slept.
That'd be much more fun.
Well, I thought so. I mean, you can do, like for girls, you can do all the girly stuff that
sure.
you normally do, watch movies and stuff. And then you just, when it's sleep time, you go home and sleep.
Yeah, it was rare that I ever enjoyed. Unless I knew I had a bed to sleep in, at least a couch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could handle a couch, but most of the time that wasn't even an option.
You know what I hated most about sleepovers?
What?
I only did a few of them, but just about every time I had a sleepover was it would be Saturday night, and then I would have to get up and go to whatever church they went to.
Okay.
Before they would take me home. And that was always awkward because it wasn't my church.
Mm-hmm.
And I always hated that. And I got to where I avoided sleepovers because I didn't want to go to a
stranger church?
Stranger church.
I don't remember if I ever got taken to. I don't think... No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and the thing is, a lot of sleepovers. The sleepovers I would have as we go into our childhood sleepover memories.
Okay.
A lot of times it was with my cousins, and they went to the same church.
Mm-hmm.
And that was usually an okay sleepover. Of all the sleepovers, that was usually an okay one because there's usually at least a couch,
mm-hmm.
if not a bed available. So that wasn't half bad. And we all went to the same church, and that wasn't an issue. The other ones, they didn't go to church at all. And that was like the concrete floors. And I've talked about that sleepover place before. I've slept over there many a times, and it was just, that was the crazy dad who kind of resembled Hitler.
Why did you stay over there?
I don't know. Because like the kid, the son was nice. He was my friend. I didn't base my friends on because their dad looked like a mass murderer.
You could have had him come over.
I think he did sometimes. Yeah, but I don't know. They just had more sleepovers.
You just go over to Hitler's house to play.
It was not fun. He was a weird guy.
Ugh.
He was a very creepy. And then like some of the other friends, you know, it was just a bad deal.
Okay.
Not fun. Anyhow, Matt writes into the show. Hi, Tony and Jenny. Love the show. My children and I often listen when I pick them up from school. I believe myself to be sensitive. I've experienced and continue to experience many things throughout my life. My scariest experience is what I'd like to share today. A friend of mine has the first house built in her town on her property, a little more than a shack consisting of three rooms. She told me one night of the things she'd seen on the property, including a tall shadow figure along the back fence, and her daughter telling her about a little boy who spoke to her in the bath. As an amateur investigator, I was naturally intrigued. I had an app on my phone that functioned as an ovulus, to which I had some success with intelligent answers. I fired it up and went to the shack with another friend of ours, David, beginning a session in the front room. After 30 minutes of silence, we decided to move to the back room. We noticed that scratched in the stones was what looked like the word hell. And then David, if he was okay with me using... I asked David if he was okay with me using provocation. He agreed, and I began calling any possible spirits every foul thing I could think of. The word stop came across my phone, and the computerized voice, why? I asked with no response, pointing at the wall. I asked, hell, is that where you think you're from? Stop. And if I don't, question mark? I asked sternly. Make, ... nightmare. As these words came across my phone, a large crash came from the front room. David went running from the shack to escape whatever had made the noise, and I went after to make sure he was all right. Inside the main house, I felt a burning sensation on my side. I lifted my shirt to reveal three scratches from my ribs to waistline. I'd never been more afraid in my life.
I don't know. I just... And I don't want to offend him. But I just feel like if you have to provoke to get a spirit to do that, I think that's just...
It's not a good idea, usually.
No, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's respectful. You know, because I feel like you should always be respectful of spirits.
Because,
mm-hmm. for one, they used to be a person, too. But also, they probably can do some shit that you don't even realize they can do.
Well, in this case, it might not have been a person at one time.
That's true, but it's still, you don't want to do that.
No. The whole idea of aggravating the dead,
mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly... It's something I wouldn't do.
No.
You know, I don't know. I mean, to each their own and how they want to handle it. But I think it's one thing to ask the dead or ask a question, you know, when people are investigating, like, are you... Like, to get EVPs.
Oh, sure.
Or like, hey, you know, can you turn the light on this? When it goes into the whole... You know, I'm going to insult you and scream at you and do all that. I think you're running. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think you're running a real risky path there,
mm-hmm.
when you're doing that, because you don't know exactly what you're interacting with.
No, you know? I completely agree. Asking questions is one thing.
Sure.
But being disrespectful, I think, is just not something to do.
Yeah, and it's not that some of these things, especially if it's like a negative spirit, not that it necessarily deserves, you know, respect, if you will,
mm-hmm.
but you also don't necessarily want to provoke something that's also not going to respect you in any way, shape, or form either.
Sure.
You know, Christina writes in, hello from the UK. I'm a relatively new listener to your show and would love to hear your opinions on the story. Back in 1981, when I was 9 years old, myself and my brother went to stay with my grandparents overnight, which was something that was a rare occurrence. Myself and my brother stayed in the back bedroom, which was next door to the bathroom, and my granddad slept in the front bedroom. My Nana chose to sleep on the sofa downstairs. In the middle of the night, I got up to use the bathroom. While I was washing my hands, I looked into the small mirror and saw my granddad behind me, smiling. I said, "Granddad, why are you messing around?" While giggling, I turned around to find nobody there. This all happened very quickly. There was no way you could have left that room that quickly. I screamed and ran back to my bed and hid under the covers. The next morning, I told my grandparents about it and was told I had dreamt it. It was my imagination, etc. 8 weeks later, my granddad died very suddenly. I was really close to my granddad, and he was understandably heartbroken. I remembered about seeing him in the mirror and wondered if that was him somehow saying goodbye. Afterwards, I was unable to go upstairs on my own in my Nana's house. I chose to go to the outside toilet rather than going upstairs when I visited my Nana. The house had a strange atmosphere, and I mentioned how much I hated that house to my mom, and she revealed paranormal things that had happened to her in that house when she lived there. As a side note, my grandparents fought a lot and seemed to announce they were getting divorced every few months, although it never happened. This might explain the heavy atmosphere in the house. My Nana lived until I was in my early 20s. I remember one day as an adult when I was visiting, my Nana trying to persuade me to go upstairs and get something for her. She said to me, "Even if your granddad was up there, he wouldn't hurt you. He loved you very much." That comment, along with my mom's stories, had led me to question whether it was my granddad that I saw in the mirror or something more sinister taking on my granddad's form. Thank you for taking the time to read my story.
The way she said that, the grandmother, makes you wonder if she's been seeing him or, you know, has the suspicion that he's still around.
Sure, or that there's something in the house.
Yeah.
That while, you know, if she's bringing up the reason or bringing up the thing that she's thinking her ghost of her granddad is there, that she's aware that there may be something else there.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it is taking on that form, it's probably not your granddad.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's an odd.
It is. It's a different one.
And it's I'm going to put my chips in the area that what she saw was not really her granddad, but it was something taking on the form. And for her to have that feeling in that house of not, you know, really just ominous, something bad is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's the ghost of her granddad that's there. Because we kind of go back to what we were talking about the other day, where we were talking about how you get a feeling around people when they're alive. Like, you just know if that person's in the room or in the house. You know, you can just feel it. You know, you can be in the complete, I can come home and let's say for some reason I didn't see your car was in the garage. I can sense if you're somewhere in the house without hearing you.
Okay.
I mean, can you do that? I mean,
no, because you sneak up and scare the shit out of me all the time.
That's true. You can only sense dead people. I can sense the living.
You do. You have the knack of being able to startle me all the time.
Maybe because I don't think of it that way. I'm thinking it from my perspective, where I can usually feel if someone is near me. I'm very rarely startled. By people, you know, and I don't really see ghosts, but it's rare for me to be startled by people. I can usually just feel if someone is near. Maybe that's just me. Maybe it's some sensitivity I have. But I, you know, you just kind of, when you're in a room with someone, or if you are conscious that they're there, there's a feeling about that. So I would think that if she was really close with her grandpa and it was a positive feeling, that feeling would be there, not this ominous darkness.
I don't know. I feel like could attribute her feelings, what she felt when she saw him in the mirror, or the ghost of him in the mirror, to almost maybe she was having a premonition of his death, because it did happen right, you know, within a few weeks of him dying.
Sure.
Unexpectedly. And you know, maybe she just kind of knew that something bad was about to happen.
And that was just like a sign?
Maybe.
And that's all it was, just a sign?
I don't know.
I don't want to see anybody in the mirror.
No.
Matt writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, let me start by saying I'm in love with your show. I'm a 28-year-old artist from New Jersey. I've been in love with Halloween and all things creepy and paranormal since I was 3. Hey, join the club. I've been listening for about 3 weeks now and haven't been able to stop. You make my work days at the factory go by so much faster, so thank you for that. I recommend you to everyone. I have a few stories to add to your fantastic collection of paranormal experiences. I'll try and keep things short and to the point. I'd like to start by telling you about the black demon entity that visited my family's house on multiple occasions a few years ago. Never appeared to me, but it has to my two older brothers, and for the one, it appeared twice, both brothers having pretty much identical experiences. Around 3 a.m, they were awoken by a heavy pressure on their chest, accompanied by an intense pins and needles sensation, and the feeling of being paralyzed. I understand this to commonly be known as sleep paralysis. With the moonlight flooding through their windows, I could see a large faceless black mass directly over them, whispering in a low demonic growl in a language they could not make out. After a minute or two, or as they would describe it, an eternity, the entity finally released its grip and disappeared into the floor. My one brother even said he saw it had a tail whipping around in the air as it dipped into the floor. Needless to say, neither of my brothers appreciated the visit and were terrified by the experience. As for me, my paranormal experiences are a bit different. I used to be a pretty nasty heroin addict, an artist junkie who would imagine such things. I've seen them, I've since then recovered, but I've used to have odd experiences while under the influence. Be lying on my bed, nodding in and out, and would hear whispering around me. I'd also see things move out of the corners of my eyes, and a few times I'd even feel something grabbing my legs, as if something were crawling up it towards me. Very freaky stuff, and I know I'm not alone in believing that being in that state, that close to death, on a daily basis, worlds could begin to collide in some way. Maybe something opened up as I constantly gambled with my life. I'll end this with one experience which was quite unexplainable to me. My passion is oil painting, and back in November of 2013, I made a painting of a girl in a dark green dress, slim frame, light brown hair, and two different colored eyes. It wasn't of anyone I knew or had a connection to, I just made it. 8 months later, through a friend who no longer talks to me now because of this, I met my now girlfriend one night at a bar with them. They used to date on and off. I didn't make the connection until a few days later, but the night I met her, she was wearing the same kind of dress the girl has in the painting. The lips are the same, the hair color is the same slim frame, everything. Even the different colored eyes. It wasn't surprising when my friend was not fond of this painting, even though I didn't do it intentionally. Even her family believes it to be her in the painting, as does my family and friends. She's an artist as well, so her and I hit it off, and the rest is history. Very eerie. Anyway, keep up the good work, and to become an EPP soon. I'm running out of episodes. I listen to about 8 a day. Thanks, guys.
I don't know that I could even listen to 8 hours of us a day. That's a lot.
That's a lot of us.
Yeah.
That's a lot of us to take in for 8 hours a day. But thank you.
That's really neat, though. The painting that he painted, essentially a picture of his girlfriend before he met her.
That's really cool.
Really neat.
That's something that you certainly, obviously, you know, you hold on to that. And, you know, if things progress down the road and they get married and have children, that'd be a really cool thing to look back on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from like a grandkid perspective or a kid perspective, you know, like, hey, my dad painted this. But and that's, you know, that'd be one hell of a piece.
It would be.
To have, you know, in your family. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that with us. Our number, 855-853-4802. Mary writes into us, several years ago on Halloween, I spent the night at my brother and sister-in-law's house. My spouse is a retired police officer, and at the time was still on active duty on night shift. I didn't like staying home alone on Halloween night. Little backstory, both my brother and sister-in-law and son had reported unusual activity at this house, the sound of walking up and down the hallway at night. Whispering voices in my baby niece's nursery, electronic toys activating in the night, etc. My brother is a truck driver and was out on the road, so it was just me, my sister-in-law, and young niece. My niece and her mom went to bed, and I was on the sofa in the living room reading. The television was off and reflected the wall, the furniture, and the little lamp behind me. While reading, I noticed a movement in the dark television screen out of the corner of my eye. First, I ignored it, thinking I imagined it, and continued to read. A few minutes later, I saw a movement pass over the TV screen again. I still kept reading. Next to where I was sitting was the table with a small lamp and a love seat. There's a space between the love seat and the wall to walk into the living room. I kept seeing the shadow moving across the TV screen, and it started getting me creeped out. I was also jumping from the hardwood floor. I finally looked directly at the TV screen and saw an indistinct dark shadow of what seemed to be a person pacing back and forth behind the love seat. Fully freaked out on the inside, I said quietly, my niece was sleeping, remember, to the shadow, "Look, if I can help you or you have a message for me, please get on with it, because otherwise you're just bothering me." The shadow passed one more time and then did not pass across the screen again. I felt the energy in the room lighten and I was much calmer. I sensed that the entity was the same one that walked the hallway at night because of the sounds from the floor. I'd always felt the hallway walker was unaware it was bothering anyone. I distinctly felt that the shadow and the hallway walker was male and elderly. I was creeped out because I'd not previously experienced seeing anything I would interpret as a ghost. His nightly walks continued for a few years until it did a minor cleansing of the house. My other thought about my Halloween night visitor is a possibility that it was just a spirit passing through. Thanks for reading my story. I greatly enjoy your show.
I think maybe just a spirit passing through.
It could be.
Yeah, especially Halloween, you know?
And if it's not like a constant year-round thing or a common reoccurring thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes we have that.
Mm-hmm.
They're just passing on through. Or being conjured up one very specific day of the year.
Could be.
And that increases your odds of them making themselves known. Thank you for the story. 855-853-4802, the number to call in and share your real ghost story, or do it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. You can write it in there. Of course, please keep our show on the air. We need your support. We need EPPs. So if you'd like to have this little ditty continue well into the future, please consider helping us do that by becoming an EPP. Only $5 a month is all we ask. Then that goes to our hard costs of keeping this thing going. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and in exchange, we'll give you a whole bunch of bonus episodes, like 60-some, exclusive video content, and a whole lot more for our EPPs. So please help us out there. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.